ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन् मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. मुखं करोति विचलं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं. नमामों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि तरामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यविष्टारिणि. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे. सो टुडे वी विल बी डूइंग वर्सेस फॉर Brahma Samhita verses 47 to 50. In the previous classes, actually past two classes, we have been seeing how Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Then we have seen about the Brahman effulgence, how he is the source of the Brahman effulgence and all the material creation, how Krishna is the source of all rasa. Then we have seen how he is the basis of everything that exists. How he is the Lord of all Lords, and how Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost planet. In fact, in our previous class, we were talking about the different dhams, like Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, and Devi Dham, all of that. And then we saw how Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost. And then we saw some details about the position of Goddess Durga, about the position of Lord Shiva, and how actually Krishna is actually the original candle, and other incarnations of the Lord are lit by this original candle. So that is what we have seen in the previous two classes. So continuing on the same lines, we will be Mataji. Today we will be Haribol, can you hear?
Mataji, you want to start regarding Mataji?
Yeah. Yes. No. Right. Yeah. Sorry, Prabhu. I have started the recording. So, so continuing the same lines, today we will hear about the other great personalities. Like we have seen about Goddess Durga and Lord Shiva, today we will hear about other great personalities like Seshanag, Mahavishnu, then Lord Brahma, Lord Ganesh, etc. All of these personalities are described in the Brahma Samhita, in particular verses. So today we will be covering those verses, and we are spanning from verses 47 to 50. Okay. So first I will read verse number 47. Yakkarana anvarajale bhajatisma yoga Nidram Ananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupa Adara Shakti Mavalambya Paramsva Murtim Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Yeah, he who Karana Arnava, the of the causal ocean, Jali in water, Bhajati enjoys, Sma indeed, Yoga Nidram. Creative sleep, Ananta, unlimited, Jagadanda, universes, Sir, with Roma Kupa, the pores of his hair, Adhara Shaktim, the all-accommodating potency, Avalambya, assuming, Param, great, Swamurtim, own subjective form, Govindam, Govinda, Adipurusham, the original person, Tam, him, aham, I, bhajami, worship. Translation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Sesha, replete with all accommodating potency and reposing on the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoganidra. Purport. The subjective nature of Ananta, who has the form of the couch of Mahavishnu, is described. Ananta, the same who is the infinite couch on which Mahavishnu reposes, is a distinctive appearance of the divinity bearing the name of Sesha, having the subjective nature of the servant of Krishna. So it's a very beautiful verse. that describes the position of fascia. So we all know that the origin of fascia is actually Balaram. So Balaram is the origin of fascia, and this fascia is called as the Adhara Shakti, that means the all accommodative potency. So Balaram has two aspects, or fascia has two aspects. One is the infinite accommodative potency, and the second one is his aspect of servitude. So he sustains everything, and also he's the topmost servant. So these are the two aspects that fascia holds. And this fascia is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. So his principal mode is that of a servitor, and he serves in various ways, as we all know. He bears all the planets on his hoofs. Then at this time of annihilation, it is fascia who becomes extraordinarily angry, and also with the cosmic dance of Lord Shiva, the destruction actually happens after the anger of fascia. And then this fascia, he tolerates a lot, but when the sin of the people becomes unbearable, then there is a fire that comes from his mouth, and it blazes all around the universe, and it destroys the entire universe. So that's how he actually destroys the entire universe. So this is one aspect. He bears everything. He bears all the planets, and he sustains everything. He's even he's sustaining the spiritual world, as we have seen in one of the previous verses. He's actually the Lord of the Sandini Shakti. So like this, he's sustaining everything. And he's also responsible for the universal destruction. And not only that, in his other aspect, he's the topmost servant, because he serves as Lord Vishnu's bed, slippers, garlands, throne, sacred thread, pretty much everything. So everyone is actually in this material world or in the spiritual world, everybody is actually serving. But the best person, the perfection of service, is seen in Balaram or Sesha. So though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is described in this verse, he is also the Supreme Lord, but he doesn't enjoy being the Lord, rather he enjoys being the best servant. So that's why he's the Adi Guru, and he's an example for all of us to serve in the right mode. So in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 5.120, there is a nice verse. It says, that Anantasesha is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. So the same Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a devotee in the form of Anantasesha. Now, Jiva Goswami, in his Krishna Sandarbha, he says, Sri Anantadeva has thousands of faces and is fully independent. He is always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he waits upon him constantly. Sankarshan, okay, is the first expansion of Vasudev, and because he appears by his own will, he is called Swarat, fully independent. There is therefore infinite and transcendental, he is infinite and transcendental to all limits of space and time. He himself appears as the thousand-headed Sesha. So from Vasudeva, we have an expansion called Sankarshana. This Sankarshana is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's completely independent, and he's Swarat. He's completely independent. So he's infinite. From him appears the thousand-headed Sesha. So we can see his appearance and see how he's actually the Supreme Lord, yet he enjoys being the topmost servant. Now, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful description of the appearance of Krishna, how Krishna actually appears. The 10th canto deals with the pastimes of Krishna, and it begins with the appearance of Krishna. Now, in the we all know the story of how initially Sankarshan or Balaram was actually he took residence in the womb of Devaki, and later he was transferred into the womb of Rohini. So there are some interesting verses from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 2, from 7 onwards, 7 and 8 actually, very nice verses. It says, the Lord ordered Yogamaya, O my potency, this is Lord Krishna ordering Yogamaya. So Krishna tells Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd boys with men with their wives. In that very beautiful land, there are many cows that reside. Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. So Krishna first sends Yogamaya to the place of where Vasudeva is actually residing with his wife, and also Rohini is residing with Vasudeva, and many other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito. Now, within the womb of Devaki, Krishna says, is my partial plenary expansion known as Sankarsana or Sesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. So the first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladeva, known as Sesha, and the Sesha incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he supports the entire universe. See, this is confirmed by Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:2-8, within the womb of Devaki, my partial plenary expansion known as Sankarsana or Sesha is there, and without any difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. So this is confirmed by the words of Sri Krishna. So the first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladeva, and he is known as Sesha. And the Sesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he supports the entire universe. And the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Okay. Now then Krishna says, because I am going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord tells Yogamaya, the Sesha incarnation has already gone there and he has made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now, he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. So, this is another very beautiful statement by Krishna. Krishna is saying, actually, why has Sesha entered the womb of Devaki? Actually, his eternal mother is Mother Rohini, right? Like, his eternally, his mother is Rohini. But still, why does he enter the womb of Devaki? It's because to do the service of making the womb ready. So, he's a topmost servant and he begins to serve Krishna even before their birth. So first he takes residence in the womb of Devaki so that he can make the womb ready for Krishna to appear. So this is another beautiful statement made by Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sesha incarnation first enters to prepare for Krishna's arrival. His function is to facilitate the comfort of Krishna. So even in his birth, first Sesha appears so that everything is set right. Again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful verse by Yamuna Devi. So this verse is in Canto 10, Chapter 65, Verse 28. Here, Yamuna is actually glorifying Balram, because there is a chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam where Balram actually visits Vrindavan. So that time he has interesting pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan. And that chapter is actually very, very beautiful. And in that chapter, we know that he had this interesting pastime with Yamuna Devi. He was actually a little angry with her, and he pulled her. He changed her course of flow. So there, in that verse, context, Goddess Yamuna actually is glorifying Lord Balarama, and she's saying this famous verse, Rama, Rama, O mighty armed one, I know nothing of your prowess, but a single portion of yourself you uphold the earth, O Lord of the universe. So again, here Yamuna Devi, she's actually confirming that it is Sesha or Balarama who's actually holding up all the planets in the universe. And in the purport, there is this purport, it says, The phrase Ekamsa means that a single portion refers to the Lord's expansion as Sesha, and this is confirmed by all the Acharyas. Jiva Goswami, he analyzes this verse, Ekamsena, as Balram sustains the universe with his expansion, Ananta Sesh. So here it says, O Balaram, Yamuna Devi is saying, O Balaram, with your expansion, with your Eka Amsha, with one of your fragment of a single portion, you are sustaining the entire universe. So Jiva Goswami, he goes on to explain how Balram is actually the source of Ananta Sesh, and this is confirmed by Yamuna. So that was something very interesting, the way the verse has been seen by Jiva Goswami. Now, Sankarsana of the quadruple form, we all know the quadruple form, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. Anyone remember? Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna?
Pradyumna,
only, okay.
Yes, Pradyumna.
Okay. So, this quadruple form is there, right? Actually, Sankarsana from that quadruple form, he descends as Lakshmana to serve Lord Rama. So, when Lord Rama disappears, okay, this Lakshmana is actually a combination of the Sankarsana from the quadruple and Lakshmana himself. Okay, Lakshmana from the spiritual world, Lakshmana from Ayodhya. So when Lord Rama disappears and Lord Lakshmana, they actually disappear from this Leela, of earthly Leela, Sesha separates himself from the personality of Lakshmana and Sesha returns to his own abode in the Patala regions. Actually, there is one Seshanag below the Patala region. He returns there and the Lakshmana, he returns to his abode in the spiritual world. So this is a very interesting incarnation that is described by our Acharyas about the incarnation of Lakshmana who appears with Lord Ramachandra. He is a combination of two personalities. Actually, technically they are the same personality, you should understand. But still, he is a combination of two expansions, you can say, of the Lord. He is a combination of Sankarsana from that first quadruple expansion, okay, the first quadruple expansion, and also the Sankarsana from the Vaikuntha, Lakshmana from the Vaikuntha, Lakshmana from Vaikuntha or the spiritual Ayodhya. So both of them combine together and they come to the earthly planet to participate in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. So again, when he leaves this material world, the part that is Sesha goes back to his place below the Patala Loka, who's holding up the planets. And the portion that is Lakshmana goes back to Vaikuntha or the spiritual Ayodhya. So that is something very interesting about this Sankarsana aspect of the Lord. Sankarsana means one who attracts. Okay, that is one of the names of Sankarsana. Akarsana means attraction, right? So Sankarsana, so he is one who attracts. And Ananta means the infinite. So these are some names of Sesha. Sesha means servant. Okay, Sesha means servant. Ananta means infinite. And Sankarsana means one who attracts. So this Ananta, as this verse talks about the Ananta and Shvetadvip. Okay, the Ananta that is the couch of the Lord. This particular verse talks about this aspect of the Supreme Lord who serves as the couch. Now, not only that, he also resides in Shvetadeep in a human form, it is said in scriptures, and also he resides below the Patala Loka as a worshipable deity. So like this, he has three different forms in which he resides. He resides as a snake, as the bed of Mahavishnu. He also resides as a personality seen in Shvetadvipa, and also he is seen as a worshipable deity in Patala Loka. So like this, Sesha or Ananta is seen in different places. Again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one chapter that talks in fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's the last chapter. It talks about the glories of Seshanag or Ananta. So there, Sukadeva Goswami, he describes Ananta as the source of Lord Shiva. So he says, Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet of Patala. He always lives in the core of Lord Shiva's heart and he actually helps him to destroy the universe. And Ananta instructs Lord Shiva how to destroy the cosmos, and thus sometimes he is called Tamasi or one who is in the mode of darkness. And he is the original deity of material consciousness, and because he attracts all living entities, he is sometimes called as Sankarsana. All this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire material world is situated on the hooves of Lord Sankarsana. From his forehead, he transmits to Lord Shiva the power to destroy this material world. Because Lord Sankarsana is actually an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, many people offer him prayers, and in the planetary system of Patala, all the Asuras, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas and learned sages offer him their respectful obeisances. The Lord talks with them in a very sweet voice. His bodily construction is completely spiritual and very, very beautiful. Anyone who hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all material conceptions of life. The entire material energy is working according to the plans of Anantadeva. Therefore, we should regard him as the root cause of the material creation. There is no end to his strength and no one can fully describe him, even with countless mouths. Therefore, he is called Ananta, unlimited. This is the reason he is called Ananta. Being very merciful towards all living entities, he has exhibited his spiritual body. Sukadev Goswami describes the glories of Anantadeva to Maharaj Parikshit in this way, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So another interesting point that was given by our Acharyas is that in the Bhagavat Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami, he explains, actually we were talking about the internal potency of the Lord in one of our, some of our previous classes, like how there is Sladini Shakti, Sandini Shakti and Samvit, right? So we said that Sandini Shakti is actually lorded over Balaram. So a partial expansion of this Sandini Shakti is the Adhara Shakti. That means the Shakti with which everything is sustained, all these universes are sustained. So it all comes from Sandini Shakti. This Adhara Shakti of sustenance actually comes from the Sandini Shakti, which is the internal potency of the Lord. So this is another thing that is, I thought was interesting, that it is put up by Jiva Goswami in Bhagavad Sandarbha. So this is about Lord Anantadeva. Next, we'll go to the next one. 48. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam atavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata vishnur mahansa ihayasya kalavisesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yasya, whose, eka, one, nishvasita, of breath, kalam, time, ata, thus, avalambya, taking shelter of, jivanti, live, loma vilaja, grown from the hair holes, jagadandanatha, the masters of the universes, the brahmas, Vishnu Mahan, the supreme Mahavishnu, sir, that, iha, here, yasya, whose, kala visheshaha, particular plenary portion or expansion, govindam govinda, adi purusham, the original person, tam, him, aham, I, bhajami, worship. Translation. Brahma and other lords of the mundane world, appearing from the pores of the hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, who is Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is a portion of portion. Purport, the supreme majesty of the subjective nature of Vishnu is shown here. So this verse, it talks about Mahavishnu as being the portion of Krishna. So again, we have seen how Krishna actually expands as the Chaturvyuha, and from the Sankarshana of the Chaturvyuha, you have the expansion of Mahavishnu. So this Mahavishnu is so great. It talks about the greatness of Mahavishnu. This Mahavishnu, from the pores of his body, actually thousands and thousands of universes are emanating, and within these universes, you have these great gods like Lord Brahma. And what is their lifespan? It is just one breath of Mahavishnu. So that's how great Mahavishnu is. But this Mahavishnu himself is a portion of Govinda. So Mahavishnu is so great that Brahma and other lords, their entire existence, their entire lifespan is within one breath of Mahavishnu. So that means for us, one breath of Mahavishnu is 311,400,000,000 years. Okay? So, 311,040,000,000,000 years. That is the actually the duration of the breath of Mahavishnu. So it doesn't mean that Mahavishnu has a very big, long breath. Actually, Mahavishnu's breath for him will be like something like how we are breathing. For us, it's just a few seconds, right? Just less than a second maybe. That's how our breath is. Even for Mahavishnu, it's like that. But he's so humongous, I mean, he's so big and he's so transcendentally large, or you can say he's so beyond our conception, that his one breath is actually equivalent to the life of Brahma, then what to talk about our life? So our life is actually just a fragment. I mean, it's nothing. It's actually nothing. If you just look at, for him, it is just like, you know, less than a second. For Mahavishnu, each of our lives that we are living today is probably less than a second. So in his terms, our time is so small and our lives are so insignificant, but we get entangled with all these false ego in this material world, and we start thinking so seriously about who we are and what we need to accomplish in this life. So this particular verse, it just shows the greatness of what is there beyond us and how Mahavishnu is so great, and but he himself is a portion of a portion of Govinda, is actually the worshipable Lord of Brahma Samhita. So that's verse number 48. Now we'll go to 49. Vasvanyatam sa sakaleshu nijeshu teja swiyam kiyat prakatat yatiya pitat satatra brahma yayesha jagadanda vidana karta Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Vasvan, the illuminating sun, yata as Ashmaka Sakaleshu, in various types of precious stones, Nijeshu, his own, Tejaha, brilliance, Swiyam, his own, Kiyat, to some extent, Prakatayati, manifest, Api, also, Tadvat, similarly, Atra, here, Brahma, Lord Brahma, here, who, Ishaha, he, Jagadanda Vidhana Karta, the chief of the universe, Govindam, Govinda, Adi Purusham, the original person, Tam, him, aham, I, Bhajami, worship. Translation, I honor the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion, Brahma, receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world. Just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the name Suryakanta, etc. Purport, Brahma is two types. In certain kalpas, when the potency of the Supreme Lord infuses himself with an eligible jiva, the latter acts in the office of Brahma and creates the universe. In those kalpas, when no eligible jiva is available, after the Brahma of the previous kalpa is liberated, Krishna, by the process of allotment of his own potency, creates the Brahma who has the nature of the avatara, descent of the divinity, in the active mundane principle Rajoguna. By principle, Brahma is superior to ordinary jivas, but is not the direct divinity. The divine nature is present in a greater measure in Shambhu than in Brahma. The fundamental significance of the above is that the aggregate of the 50 attributes belonging to the jiva are present in a fuller measure in Brahma, who possesses it. Okay, but he possesses the same opulences in a much lesser degree, than Lord Shiva. Right, Brahma possesses it lesser than Lord Shiva. So these five more attributes that are not found in the jivas, in Shambhu, about 50 attributes of the jivas and also five additional attributes found in Brahma are present in even great measure than in Brahma. So this is the purport that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given. I'll probably elaborate on that. So it begins with the description of Suryakanta gem. So Suryakanta gem stores the power of sunlight. That is what is said in this verse. So just like there are many gems like this which store the power of sunlight. Just like, you know, maybe in a hot summer afternoon where it gets really, really hot, and the places where it gets really hot, if you probably put a black stone, it becomes so hot, a nice black stone, it becomes really, really hot that if you touch it, it burns your finger. Or probably some people, they use it to heat it. Heat other substances. So basically what the sun does is the sun imparts a portion of its potency. But there is a huge difference in the potency between the sun and the object that is being heated up because of the sun's rays. It is actually different, and it is nothing when compared to the sun. So like this, all the Brahmas in our universe, they actually receive their power from Krishna, but they are not to be compared to be equal to Krishna. They are just like the Suryakanta gem who has received the potency of the sun and it is shining today. Similarly, the Brahmas who are here in this universe, they are not to be compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they have a minute power of the Supreme Lord. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about the eligibility of Brahma. Who can become a Brahma? So he discusses this. He says, there are three types of personalities who become a Brahma. A super karmi, a super jnani, and super devotees. Now, these three varieties are there. All these people can become a Brahma. Now, a very, very exalted karmi who is practicing, who has perfected Grihastha Ashram for 100 lifetimes, who has perfected Karma Yoga for 100 lifetimes, such a person, he doesn't get liberated, but rather he goes to Brahma Loka and he gets the eligibility of becoming a Brahma. That is a super karmi. Now, the second variety is a person who has attained perfection, a great speculative philosopher. Such a person, he actually, he can also become a Brahma. A super jnani can also become a Brahma. And also a super devotee, he can also take the position of Brahma. So, these three options are available for a person to become a Brahma. But when we talk about a devotee, obviously we think that such a person should enter the abode of the Lord and he is liberated, right? Or a person who is a great philosophical speculator, he must attain impersonal liberation. But still, it says that when a devotee thinks himself to be independent, okay, to an extent, he may be liberated, but he comes back to take the post of a Brahma because he has this sense of, having this independence. He thinks he's independent. So at that time, there is a chance that he will come back and he will take the post of a Brahma. So a super karmi can become a Brahma, a super jnani can become a Brahma, a super devotee can become Brahma. Okay, there are chances for all of these. And also a person who is like really, really a nice devotee, but still, I mean, he is attained spiritual world, but still he has this feeling of independence. He may come back and he is given the post of Brahma, where he can execute the position of Brahma. And then when no proper jiva is qualified, the Lord himself takes the position of Brahma. So that is described in this verse, that either a jiva is empowered to become a Brahma, or when there is no person who is qualified, then the Lord himself takes the position of Brahma. So the Laghu Bhagavatamrita says the Lord himself appears or an empowered incarnation comes sometimes. Even a Shakti Avesha Avatara can become a Brahma. So this is also mentioned in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So we have seen super karmi, super devotees, super jnani, they all can become Brahma. And not only that, a person who has got very good devotion, who has been liberated, but still who has this feeling of independence, to a great extent, he can come back and he can take the post of Brahma. And also the Lord himself can take the post of Brahma. That is another thing. Or a Shakti Avesha Avatara of the Lord can also take the post of Brahma. So these are all the people who can actually become Brahma. And then Laghu Bhagavatamrita also talks about the birth of Brahma. It's not that Brahma always comes out from the navel of Mahavishnu, as we have seen probably in this Kalpa. We have seen that Brahma comes from the navel of Mahavishnu. And Brahma can be born from anywhere, actually. There is no strict rule or regulation that he should come only from the navel of Vishnu. Of course, what we have seen now is that he is coming out from the navel of Vishnu. But otherwise, Brahma can be born from fire, water, air, any other element, and so on. This is also described by Jiva Goswami, that Brahma can appear from anywhere. So that is about the birth of Brahma and who can become a Brahma. Now, what does Brahma do? So Brahma engineers the material universe of creation. That is his job. And also, in this particular situation where we are here in, he has inaugurated the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. That means he is a great guru. Okay, he guides people. And these two are the functions of a Brahma. One is that he engineers and he takes care of the entire universe, and also he plays the role of a guru, helping everyone to get out of this material world. And sometimes this Brahma, he's so great that many a times he's mistaken to be the Supreme Lord by many people. Okay, many, many, even great jnanis and so many people have mistaken Brahma to be the Supreme Lord. Except there is an example in the Brihad Bhagavatam of how Narada Muni himself gets bewildered. Narada is the son of Brahma. He himself gets bewildered at one point and he thinks that Brahma is the Supreme Lord and there is no one beyond Brahma. So that is the kind of position that Brahma holds, because he is the topmost jiva within this material world. And there's a lot of bewilderment among many great people that Brahma could be the Supreme Lord. Now there is, as I was mentioning, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we all know that there are two stories. One is the story where there is the greatest search, there's a search for the greatest devotee, the Narada Muni. And then the other story is the story of Gopakumar. So in the search for the greatest devotee, on this book where Narada goes in search of the greatest devotee, that time when he meets Brahma and he's glorifying Brahma, Brahma himself tells about his own situation. Actually, I wanted to read some parts from that. This gives us a vision of what is happening in the residence of Brahma, what is there in Satyaloka, and it gives us an idea of how Brahma is feeling about himself when compared to the Lord, and how he's telling Narada Muni that he's not the Supreme Lord. So I'll just read a little from Brihad Bhagavatamrita so that we can understand what the Satyaloka or Brahma's residence is all about, and also the exact position of Lord Brahma as it is described by Sanatana Goswami. So Narada is just entering Satyaloka now. He's just entering Satyaloka. And from a distance, Narada heard the sounds of many exalted sages continuously performing sacrifices with great devotion. So going nearer, he saw the blissful Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Mahapurusha form with his hair splendidly matted. So the Supreme Lord was present there, Krishna or Mahavishnu. He was present there in his form as Mahapurusha with his form where his hair is splendidly matted. And he was accompanied by Lakshmi Devi. And then this thousand-headed lord of sacrifices was bestowing divine bliss upon the sages by happily accepting their sacrificial offerings. To please Sri Brahma, he was accepting Brahma's offerings with his thousands of hands, and he was eating them with his thousands of mouths. After giving the performers of sacrifice their cherished benediction, Yajna Purusha Bhagavan retired to his bedroom, and there Sri Lakshmi was massaging his feet. He performed the pastime of falling asleep. So this is all happening in the Satyaloka. Narada Muni has gone to Satyaloka and he's seeing what is happening in Brahma's abode. Okay? So there he sees that Yajna Purusha or Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is manifesting there with thousands of arms and thousands of heads, and he is accepting the sacrifices of everybody, and all the great sages are glorifying him. And then once he is done with this, he retires to his bedroom, where of course he comes to his, he takes only one head and he takes a normal form. He goes back to his bedroom, and there Lakshmi Devi is massaging his leg, and then he goes to sleep. So this is all happening in Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the Supreme Lord is present there personally for Brahma. Okay? Then Sri Brahma, knowing the order of Bhagavan, engaged the sages who were really his own sons in sacrifices and to perform tasks related to creation, and he went to his own domicile. There he comfortably sat. He sat on his throne with a choked voice, recited the glories of his worship of the Lord, and then he also heard others glorify him, and tears were flowing from his eight eyes. Listening to the glories of the Lord, Brahma was all choked up and he was crying. Then Narada approached his father, who was served by great opulences, and offered his obeisances, and he went and told his father, "You are certainly the object of Bhagavan's mercy. You are the master of all the Prajapatis and the grandfather of all living entities. So you alone create, maintain, and destroy the 14 worlds. You alone are the eternal master of the universe, and because you are self-manifested, you are called as Swayambhu. From your lotus mouth, the Vedas, the Puranas, and the scriptures which reveal the goal of life are manifested. And assuming personified forms, they reside in your assembly house. Residing in your planet are the saints, being devoid of false pride and all other faults. And they have for 100 births flawlessly executed their occupational duties, Swadharma. In this entire universe, there is no planet superior to yours. Even the Vaikuntha of Sriman Narayana is situated within it because he's seeing Yajna Purusha coming there and taking offerings. So here Padmanabha Bhagavan resides in his Mahapurusha form, eating the sacrificial offerings and bestowing the fruits of their sacrifices upon the worshippers. At the time of your appearance, you searched for him for a very long time, but you did not receive his darshan. Then by the strength of your austerities, he appeared for a moment within your heart. Therefore, you are truthfully very dear to Sri Keshava. Indeed, you are not only very dear to him, but actually you are Sri Keshava himself, who assumes various forms for his pastime. So here Narada Muni is saying you are very dear to the Supreme Lord. Not only that, you are also a form of the Supreme Lord. You are also the Supreme Lord. So like this, he is glorifying Brahma. For a second, he gets bewildered, Narada Muni, and he says you are Keshava himself, okay, because you are also so great. Everything is coming from you. So that means you must be equivalent to the Supreme Lord. So at that time, when Brahma heard his own glories, he became very agitated, and covering his 8 ears, he repeatedly said with a sore mouth, "I am only a servant." Upon hearing himself being praised, which he did not like to hear, Brahma became very furious, but after restraining his anger with great endeavor, he admonished his son Narada and he said, Have I not from your early childhood repeatedly taught you with numerous evidences and logic that I am not Sri Keshava? In the form of a maidservant, his potency called Mahamaya stands before him waiting his order. This is Mahamaya, who is a maidservant. She is standing before him waiting for the Supreme Lord's order. It is his potency through her three modes, creates and maintains and destroys this universe. All of us are bewildered by her and are firmly under her control. Therefore, you should know that I have not obtained even a single particle of Sri Keshava's mercy. So he's saying they're all being controlled in this material world. All of us are controlled by the three modes of material nature. And who's the lord of the three modes? That is Durga, right? Or Mahamaya. But she is waiting with folded arms as a servant of Keshava, waiting for his order. So you can imagine my position, how bewildered I am and how insignificant I am. This is what Brahma is telling Narada. Being bewildered by this Maya, I'm always thinking I'm the master of this entire universe, the grandfather of all living entities. I was personally born from the lotus flower emanating from Keshava's navel, and I satisfied him through my performance of austerities. In this way, I am overcome with false pride. But due to my endless responsibilities in maintaining the universe, I'm always perturbed. I'm always anxious that the time for my planet would be destroyed, and it is nearing. And being afraid of all devouring time, I always pray for liberation. Only for the purpose do I worship Sri Bhagavan and cause others to worship him. You say he personally resides on my planet, but where does he not reside? He only accepts the sacrificial offerings here to firmly establish the Vedic revelation and to make the sacrifice successful, not to bestow mercy upon me. O Narada, you should know that only bhakti pleases Bhagavan, and that he only bestows his mercy upon devotees and not non-devotees. Having bhakti for him is very far away from me. If I somehow avoid offending him, I think I'm doing very well. So he goes, Krishna, he does not forgive my offenses. He in fact forgives the offenses of Lord Shiva also, but he never forgives my offenses. So he gives this example. Brahma says, obtaining a boon from me, the wicked Hiranyakashipu, he became an enemy of the Vaishnavas and tormented the entire world. When after Bhagavan assumed the form of Narsimha and killed him, due to fear, myself and the demigods stood at a distance offering various eloquent prayers. But he refused to recognize us even with a momentary sidelong glance. all the demigods headed by Brahma were totally ignored. Narsingadev didn't even want to see them. Instead, he was only pleased by the prayers of Prahlad. And later, when Prahlad was performing the coronation ceremony, with great fear, I slowly approached Narsimhadev and he angrily told me, "Oh Brahma, don't give any boons like this to the demons ever again. Nevertheless, I have since given many boons to demons such as Ravana." Even after he was scolded by the Supreme Lord, Narsimhadev actually warned him, you should not give such benedictions to any of these demons again. Nevertheless, since I have been given this warning also, I have given more and more boons to other demons like Ravana. So you may remember how I give administrative posts to Indra and others whose good sense became completely destroyed by the inflated pride. Indra offended Krishna by showering incessant rains on the Govardhan sacrifice, and by fighting with him, he stole the Parijata tree. Varunadeva committed aparadh by kidnapping Nanda Maharaj and by stealing the cows from the forest. Yamaraja had the son of Sandipani Muni killed, and Kuvera is responsible for his follower Shankachuda's kidnapping of the gopis. Yeah, so Shankachuda was a follower of Kuvera actually, and he kidnapped the gopis. So Shankachuda was also slain by Krishna. So like this. Then also in the lower planet, the demons and the angry serpents who are relatives of Kali and Nag have become enemies of the Vaishnavas. And just recently, I myself went to Vrindavan, and while Sri Keshava was taking lunch in the forest, I used my illusory potency to kidnap the calves and the boys, and he was personally protecting. Then I saw something so astonishing and I became frightened, and although I offered him prayers and obeisances, due to my impudence, he cheated me by ignoring me and simply resuming his pastimes as a cowherd boy. So again, in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, when Brahma does this offense, Brahma Vimohan Leela, actually Brahma, he goes on and on and on offering prayers, huge prayers to Krishna, and then Krishna at the end of it, he just looks at him and ignores him and goes away. So all this Brahma is recollecting, actually I have not even forgiven, but rather if Shiva does something, he always forgives Lord Shiva, but when I do something like this, and I've done so many mistakes even after so many warnings, so I'm not anything great is what he's trying to say. Narada is actually in a very humble mood. He's trying to explain to Narada about his actual position. He says, "Still I consider myself to be fully gratified because I had the immense good fortune to enter Raja and receive the darshan of a smiling face. Fearing that if I stayed there for any length of time, I would commit more offenses, I returned here. What benefit would be there in continuing to describe my immense misfortune?" After this Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahma later got the benediction of being coming back as Haridas Thakur, and when he came back as Haridas Thakur, he had the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So this is how Brahma feels about himself, and sometimes people get bewildered to think that Brahma is actually the Supreme Lord, but Brahma is actually in a very humble position, and he totally understands what he is doing and his position. So this is about Lord Brahma. Now we'll go to verse number 60. That will be the last verse for today. Oh, sorry, 50, not 60, sorry, 50. Yat pada pallava yugam vinidhaya kumbha dvandve pranama samayesa ganadhiraja diknan vihantum alamasya jagatrayasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yet whose Padapallava, lotus feet, yugam, to Vinidhaya, having held Kumbhadvandve upon the pair of Chumalai, Pranama Samaye, at the time of offering obeisances, he, Gana Adi Rajaha, Ganesha, Vignan, obstacles, Vihantum, to destroy, Alam, capable, Asya, of these, Jagatrayasya, three worlds, Govindam, Govinda, Adi Purusham, Darshanal person, Tam, him, Aham, I, Bhajami, worship. Translation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of Tumalai, protruding from the elephant head in order to obtain power for its function of destroying all obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds. Purport. The power of destroying all obstacles to mundane prosperity has been delegated to Ganesha, who is the object of worship to those who are eligible to worship him. He has obtained a rank among the five gods as Brahma, possessing mundane quality. The self-same Ganesha is a god in possession of delegated power by infusion of the divine power. All his glory rests entirely on the grace of Govinda. So we have seen about Brahma, we have seen about Mahavishnu, we have seen about Shiva, we have seen about Durga. Now this verse talks about the great demigod Ganesha. Now, in the purport, we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about him as one of the five primary gods who are worshipped. So, as we all know, this is called as the Pancha Deva Upasana. Generally, the Smarkas, they follow worship of any of these five gods, who is Vishnu, Shiva, Surya, Ganesh, and Durga. Sometimes it is even Kartikeya. It depends on the worship mode. So they all worship, they are considered as the primary, worshipable deities. And Ganesha is one of them. And Ganesha, he removes obstacles for a materialist. He removes obstacles and he gives mundane opulence. So for devotees, he actually removes obstacles in devotional service. But how does he do it? He is actually holding the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadeva on his tumulai. Actually, tumulai means the raised surface. Like, you know, when you see an elephant, you see the head of an elephant, the edges will be raised, and in the center there is a depression. If you see the head of an elephant, just the front view of an elephant, you will see. On top, there will be two raised surfaces at the ends, and the center there is a depression. So these raised surfaces are called as tumulai or tumulas. Tumulas is singular, tumulai is plural. So there are two, there is this tumulai, two tumulus on the top of the head of an elephant. So how he is getting this power, Vigna Vinashaka, how he is able to remove obstacles is by holding the lotus feet of Govinda. But actually, of course, Govinda is the source of everything. But actually, Ganesha holds the lotus feet of Narsingadev. And that's how he gets his power to remove obstacles. The same, this Ganesha is found within the material world. He's a demigod, okay? But the source of this Ganesha is actually a spiritual Ganesha that is there in Sadashiva Loka. And he's an associate of Lord Sadashiva. But here in this material world, he's called he comes as the son of Bhutanatha Shiva. And Ganesha is called as Vinayaka. Nayaka means leader, right? So Vinayaka means the leader of the misguided. So he's leading hordes and hordes of followers of Lord Shiva, all these Bhutas, Guhyakas, Dakshinis, Yatudana, Vetalas, Brahmarakshasas, all of them. For all of them, he is the leader and he is the Lord. And hence he's also called as Ganapati. He's the leader of all the Ganas, Shiva Ganas. All the Ganas, the leader is the son of Lord Shiva, who's Ganapati. So generally, it is said that people in the mode of passion or goodness and ignorance, you know, when goodness and ignorance is combined, some people, they have a very nice qualities, like they are always in the mode of goodness, and there's also some mode of ignorance. So such kind of people, and people who are in the mode of passion, who want a lot of things. So like this, these two kind of people generally worship him, and also the impersonalists. So these are the different worshippers of Lord Ganesh, and this is the glory of Lord Ganesh. He's able to remove obstacles, and he's the son of Lord Shiva. And also, where is he receiving his power? It is from the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadev. So this is about Lord Ganesh that is explained here. So I'll stop here. These are the verses I wanted to cover. So if you have anything to add or any realizations, any corrections, please let me know. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hello, Pranam.
Hare Bol, Prabhu.
Mr. Prabhu. Wonderful class, Mataji. Very wonderful. You should probably write a book on Brahma Samhita. You're going so deep into everything in the verses.
Oh, it's all the Maharaj's Prabhu who have given seminars. I'm just doing copy-paste, actually.
And I hope you recorded all your lectures. So you have been recording, no?
Yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, that's very nice, very nice. Ultimate descriptions for every verse. It's mind boggling. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
And one thing, when you were mentioning about Sankarsana, you were saying the meaning method is something like attraction, no?
No, Sankarsana is one who attracts, yeah.
One who attracts. I think I heard somewhere, Mataji, recently, maybe it was Rohini Priya Prabhu or someone was giving a class, and the Prabhu was saying that even that attraction force, it's helpful for the planets, it seems. Sankarsana holds all the planets together. That is another thing that's mentioned. And
wow.
How the word, there's some description in some Purana where Lord Sankarsana is the one who holds the planets together. And he was saying how, this law of gravitation and everything was known so many, it was known for eons. It's not, Newton really only discovered what was already there. I mean, Newton himself accepted that he discovered what is already there, and he said, gave theory of gravitation and everything, but he was mentioning how this attraction and everything was so amazing.
Right. So thank you, Prabhu, for bringing up that point. That's very true. Even I had heard this once, that the law of gravity is actually Shankarshan's power that is holding up the planets, and that's why you have the law of gravity. Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks for adding that and telling that also nicely. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Very much. Good that you mentioned that one. Very nice. Very nice to connect that.
And also, one more thing I had heard from one more person is that Shankarsana means to, attract means like you're extracting, right? Like from, that's another name by Balram has Shankarsana, because he was removed from the garbha of, he was extracted or removed out, from the garbha of Devaki and then transferred into Rohini. So that's another hidden meaning for Shankarsana. That's another interesting point that I had heard some time back.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavatana Mataji. As usual, it's very nice class, Mataji. I missed last week class due to some urgency, but very good, Mataji.
We also missed you, Prabhu.
Sorry, Mataji?
I said we also missed you.
Oh. Yeah, Mataji. I really missed that one, and I was going to this job trials, and it's really hectic. Mataji, as usual, like my dumb question, Mataji. You mentioned Lord Brahma given boons to Ravana, right, Mataji? Isn't it Shiva given boon to Ravana, Mataji? Or both of them given boons to Ravana?
Oh, is it? I just read from Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Oh, maybe the other partial mother, because I remember from a movie, mother, where Ravana, he was worshipping Shiva, and he was opening his intestine, and he is playing like a veena, right, mother? He plays that one,
yeah.
Because
I remember that, yeah. So
to please Lord Shiva. So I was just thinking. Yeah,
that's a good point. Now I'm remembering what you're saying. Ravana was given boon by whom? Boon Shiva only, I think. Yeah. So I don't know why it said that. Like, I just read those verses. Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu, you have any answer to that?
About Ravana getting the boons from Shiva, Lord Shiva?
Yeah. He got boon from Lord Shiva or boon from
yes,
Lord Brahma?
He's an ardent devotee of Lord Shiva.
Huh.
And he got bones also from Lord Shiva, no doubt.
Oh, okay. I think he got some bones from Lord Brahma also, says in some places. Oh.
I see. Okay, Mataji. I got curious, Mataji. So, Mataji, one more thing, maybe it sounds more funny. What is like the way many kings and many sages, right, they fought to get the post of Indra? Did anybody fought for the post of Brahma, Mataji, in the history?
I've not heard, Prabhu, because generally you have to be a perfect karmi. I don't think Brahma's position, I think it's for a very elevated soul. I don't think really someone fights for the position.
Okay.
I don't think, you know, like a Dhanava or someone can become Lord Shiva, I mean Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, because the qualities should be really good of that person. But for Indra, there is always this fight and you can get the heavenly planet and all that. That's what I am having a feeling from what I heard in these lectures.
That's true, Mother. Probably nobody would have tried also. Because compared to Indra's post, it's more opulent and more luxury. Brahma's post is just like so opulent. So nobody would have tried. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all, Mother. I don't have any more questions, Mother. I really liked it. I mean, slowly when you were progressing, talking about all the demigods, because sometimes I feel like am I doing a mistake? I mean, of course, Krishna is Supreme Lord, but of course we hear from Maharaja's lectures like we should not neglect any other devotees of any other demigod, anything. We should pay obeisances. But still, I feel like am I completely missing the point, something like that. So, but today's point about Lord Ganesha and other demigods, said Mother, is making more clearer and clearer to me, Mother. Thank you so much for educating me on this one. That's all, Mother. I don't have any more questions. Thank you so much, Mother.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, only we three, Mother. I think probably we are done with the colleges.
Yes, okay. Then we'll we'll end the call. I wanted to read about this Ravana getting wound from Brahma. I'll probably read it and text you later and see what the difference is. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thanks, Mother. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
One second, please.